Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a great morning, isn't it? It's a great morning, isn't it? It's an amazing morning, isn't it? Even though we may be tired, we still want to give God a shout. So come on, guys, let's shout unto the Lord so he can hear us. And we're going to bring praise into his name, amen? So one more time, I would just love to hear a shout. All righty. Come on, clap with us. And we want to invite you up to the altar, because that's where we worship and that's where we praise. So if you want to just get closer, please be our guest. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing that out. Sing, Lord, you are.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, people from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. You are good.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So good, so good. Hey. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Come on, let's take it from the top.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing it out. Lord, you are good.
You are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Yes, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, people from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue,
from generation
to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We worship you.
Sing, we worship you.
Who you are.
Oh, yeah.
We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah.
Come on and sing.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Sing. You are good all the time and all the time. Sing. Yes, you are good.
You are good.
Come on and sing.
All the time.
Hey. And all the time.
Sing. You are good.
Yeah. Sing that again. You are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing it out if you know that your God is good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing this out. Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Let's go. Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
And people from every nation.
People from every nation,
from last generation to this generation,
to generation.
Sing, we worship
we
you.
Worship you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For you are good.
Hallelujah.
For you are mighty.
We worship.
Good morning, everybody. How many of you love Jesus today? Is God good? I said, is your God good? Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday. Not like we don't have Pentecost every Sunday here. But we want to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've always desired to be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in other tongues. Today is your day. We're going to have you come right down the middle aisle right here. If I could have all the pastoral staff, Pastor Chad, Randall, get on up here. And we're going to pray for all those that need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. So while we sing that song again, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come right over on this side. We're going to lay hands on you. You're going to get filled by the Spirit of God this morning. You're going to speak with other tongues. Come on, let's sing that again, Isaiah. Come on, sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever.
Come on, let's sing that out again. Sing, Lord, you
are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever.
Yes, your mercy shall endure forever. From generations,
from generations,
we worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you.
For who you are,
who you are.
For I know that you are so good.
We worship you.
Sing hallelujah. Let's go back.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Yes, your mercy shall endure forever.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
From every nation,
people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Last time, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's sing it out.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Yes,
we worship you for who you are.
It's great.
is higher. Your name is high above all. Your love is greater, is greater. Your name has conquered it all. Your name is higher, it's higher. Your name is higher. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Yes. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
There is no other name.
But Jesus, all we need. You're all we need. Is in the name of Jesus, all we need. I'm singing out here. Is in the name of Jesus, all we need. Name of Jesus, all we need.
Come on, sing it out with all you've got. Isn't the name?
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Oh, you're all we need, yeah.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Power in the name, salvation in the name, there is life in the name,
no other name,
there is no other name but Jesus,
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 there is freedom in the name.
Individual here this morning, you have found success in your desires for the world, but you're still coming up empty. The Lord is drying up none of those things. They're not going to disappear, but He's drying up their satisfaction so that you'll come running to Him. He has a whole new level for you, and that level cannot be mixed with thinking the satisfaction comes from the success. It only comes from me. And in that, you will find that joy and the peace. It's almost like you're lost. You're wandering. You're wondering if maybe you've hit midlife crisis or what's happening in your life. But it's what it is God is drawing you. He's drawing you. He's drawing you. And as you yield to Him, you're going to find the greatest place in your walk with Him that you've ever had. A very satisfying place. And in that, you'll be able to smile again. You smile outside, but inside is not. And God's going to put the smile back on the inside of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that You know every thought that we have in our head and every feeling that we have in our soul. And I thank You, Jesus, that Your name is so high and so powerful that there's not one thing that cannot be healed in our mind and our emotions. As another individual, you're finding yourself, you've always been in control of your life, but you're finding your life very unsteady right now. You've tried, and what always has worked isn't working any longer. You're finding it's almost like you're in a canoe standing up, and you're still out of the water, but you find yourself uneasy and unsteady and out of balance. And the Lord is saying, it's time for you to get your eyes back on me. I'll bring the balance back to your life. That unsteady feeling is making sure that you don't step out and continue to step out in your own capabilities and your own abilities. But I want to give you what will bring you success in your life, and that is a closer relationship with me. He'll bring you that peace that you're needing and that you're longing. Father, I thank You. Lord, this morning, if there's sickness in this place, I curse it in Jesus' name. I speak to the body parts. I command You to be recreated, those that have been taken out. Lord, even those that have been broken, I command a fusion that will not be deniable by a doctor. I declare in the name of Jesus, organs, hear me now. I command the organs to come alive. I command the organs to work properly in Jesus' name. I speak to the mind in peace. I command peace to come upon the mind and the thinking, bringing into captivity every thought and imagination that would rise itself up against God. I declare, God, even those in their minds that are not firing properly, I command you right now in Jesus' name, your mind, physical mind, to be healed. Lord, I speak right now to eyes and ears, and I speak, oh God, even to sinus infections. I curse you, command you to dry up now in sinus. Lord, I thank you that you care about every need in every situation, and you're so faithful, so faithful. Somebody here is getting ready to give up on your marriage, and the Lord wants you to know that if you will submit to him, he'll give you a different eyesight in your spouse. You'll not see them in the same way. Your spouse doesn't even know you're talking or thinking about this. Stop talking to that person that you're chatting with. They're not a believer. And God is rebuking you right now, because if you keep going to the counsel of the ungodly, they're going to tell you to step away from your spouse. You'll miss a part of your destiny, and your children will be affected. Father, I thank you that you know every scene. You care. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every name, we thank you that we have victory in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell somebody how wonderful the name of Jesus is. Don't just go sit down. Don't just go find your own little spot. Go find somebody you don't know. Be friendly this morning. Be friendly this morning. Come on now, don't be a snob. Go find somebody you don't know. If you want to have a friend, you got to be friendly. Azure's one of the most friendly people in the church. Azure, go say hi to somebody. Come on, Brad, Garrett, get up and go shake someone's hand. Come on. Go find somebody. Scare them with your beard. Hallelujah. Did everybody meet somebody they didn't know? Turn right around. Turn to someone next to you and say, well, good morning. My name is... Is everybody smiling this morning? Second service, we want to fill this service up. It means you got to bring your friends. Turn to someone and say, you got to bring somebody to get them. Amen. Bring some guests to the house of the Lord. They'll be blessed when they get here. Mindy Spencer.
Good morning, HT family. We're excited to have you here. How many of you are a guest this morning? If this is your first time, I promise we're not going to embarrass you, but this is your first time, go ahead and raise your hand up. We have a gift for you. We're excited that you're here with us. If we can have some of the ushers, we have some here. We have some gifts for you. We also have a guest reception. If next, after service, over here in this hallway, we have a guest reception. We would love to meet you. We have some in the front row here. So go ahead and make your way to the guest reception after here. You can meet the pastors. We want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you for joining us today. We have a few announcements for you. How many of you are a part of Next Steps? Well, I don't see a lot of hands. Okay, well, this is going to be awesome. So next steps, everybody should be involved in next steps. All of your hands should be up for next steps. This is only a benefit to you. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, if you want to know more, be empowered to do more, get involved in next steps. There's something for everyone. If you haven't gotten involved in any classes, then you want to get in step one, Rock Solid Faith. It's a phenomenal class. It changed my life. It's changed everybody's life, really. Pastor Spencer teaches that on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. It's taught Wednesday mornings at 9 and Thursday nights at 6. So you have several different opportunities to get involved in Next Steps Rock Solid Faith. And then if you've already gone through Rock Solid Faith, we have step two, and we have a new class starting this Tuesday with Pastor Obi. It's on spiritual warfare. So if you've already completed step one, get into step two this Tuesday night. We also have an Uproar fundraiser coming up. It's a park cleanup. If you're familiar with Uproar Conference, can you just make some noise in here? Uproar Conference is phenomenal. It's our sixth year this year. We're so excited. We're going to be at the arena. It's been great success. God has done tremendous things through this conference. It's for our youth. So if this is something you want to partner with or you want to maybe donate to, I encourage you. This park cleanup is going to be done at Aldridge Park. We did it last year. It was a lot of fun. You can donate money. You kind of get sponsors to help donate towards it. We help clean up the city, and it goes towards a great cause, which is reaching the youth of this area. If you have more questions about that, contact Pastor Cody. Father's Day is coming up June 18th. We're excited. We're going to be celebrating here for Father's Day, and we have the Pioneers game. It's going to be His Tabernacle Night at Dunn Field. So I encourage you, we have free tickets out at the Hub. Grab some for your family. We'll be there. Pastor Spencer has a small word that he shares with the people there, and it's just a lot of fun. So I encourage you to get your stuff today. And then we have Pastor Spencer with offering.
Amen. What a great day, isn't it? Well, I'm excited about being in the house of the Lord. How about you? If first service was, oh my goodness, out of the ballpark. It was phenomenal. And today, the Spirit of God is moving. And as we all know, this is Pentecost Sunday, and we just know that Pentecost is every Sunday in this house. Amen? Should be Pentecost Sunday every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in your house. Amen? We believe in the power of God. Today, you know, many times we hear the person get up and they say, it's offering time. Well, today we're going to change the name of that. How do you like that? Because how can you offer something to someone who already owns it? You can't give something to somebody when it's already theirs. And the tithe is the Lord. The Bible says in Leviticus, tithe is holy to the Lord. We find in the Malachi, if you're Italian, if you're not, it's Malachi, that it says, will a man rob God? And they asked, how would we rob you, God? And he said, with your tithe and with your offering. You see, when we give our tithe, we're not giving, we're actually returning. It's the Lord's. The Bible says, actually, that the Lord's, is he has all the fullness of the earth. You see, everything we have is God's. The quicker we come to learning that ownership is not the plan of heaven, the quicker we're going to have relief in our finances. Some of you are struggling horribly in your money, and it's because it's your money. But when you finally learn how to step into the principles of God's kingdom, His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I want you to know there's no shortage in heaven. Can I hear an amen? There's no lack in heaven. Can I hear an amen? God is not deficient on His bills. Can I hear an amen? And if God is the owner and we're walking in obedience, then we cannot fail. Turn to someone and say, God wants you prosperous? Oh my goodness, I love the fact that so many people hate this message, but I love this message. In the garden, there was no lack. In heaven, there's no lack. And the Bible says we're praying heaven to earth. That means the believer should have no lack. Turn to someone and say, I have no lack. Some of you are prophesying. I didn't say prophelying. I said you're prophesying that over your life. I have no lack when we walk in the principles of heaven and we return to the Lord. So we're not going to do offering this morning. We're going to do return. We return to the Lord what is His. We position ourselves so that we will have no lack in our lives. Because when we submit to Him, He blesses us. Bible says He rejoices, spins and dances over the prosperity of his children. God wants you to have more than enough. Turn to someone and say, I'm believing to have more than enough. Brother Terry said something. It's going to hook up with Pastor Cody's message. And it was about the valley of the shadow of death. The greatest place to plant is in the valley. It's the most nutrient soil. Some of you are in a valley and you need to learn how to sow, not up on the hill, but in the valley. And you'll find you'll get the greatest return, even in the finances that God has blessed you with. Amen? Now, in this house, if you're a guest, we bring our offerings to the Lord so that we don't shake you down in your chair. This is a free offering. The ushers, you're an usher, right, Sean? The ushers are handing out envelopes. If you need one, slide your hand up. You spell thousand, T-E-N-T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. No, I'm just kidding. It's important that you recognize obedience is everything. Are you ready? I said, are you ready to give? Stand to your feet with me this morning. Let's make our biblical supernatural proclamation found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Shout, if I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. Let's return to the Lord what is His. If you're watching by live stream this morning, I want to encourage you. Right now, we have between 200 and 300 people watching every single week by live stream. We thank God for you. And out of the 200 or 300 people, there are only, I think, 5 people that are giving online. And I want to challenge you this morning to be one who will step up and start being a tither in the household of God. You see, you sit home, you choose to stay home. And because of that, that's where the church is. But you need to start giving to where you're being fed. Don't be a taker, but be a giver. So this morning, I challenge you. I'd even like to offend you. Because if you're not going to eat, if you're not going to sow, if you're not going to tithe, then you're just using it. We call it welfare Christianity. I challenge you to be a giver this morning. Get off. Let God bless you. Allow God to bless you. Allow God to bless you by being a giver online.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good.
Praise the Lord. I'd like for you to agree with me in prayer. We're believing God to go from 13% tithers in this house to 26% tithers in this house. Amen. We're believing God that at least one quarter of the people that call this their home will be tithers, returners to the kingdom of God. I'm believing that because that means we're going to be able to do far more for Jesus. Amen. I don't know how many of you realize, but there's going to be a brand new building out in that beautiful field right out front. It's going to seat 1,999. Amen? We're believing God to fill that with people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We're going to change this region for Jesus Christ. You know, one of my great thrills is recognizing that His tabernacle is very focused. We do 3 things. Say it with me now. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. We do what 3 things? We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. That's what we do here. In fact, what's exciting is recognizing our core values, and that is the children. We love the children. Over 260 children are ministered to every single month right on the other side of that wall. And we minister to, and I thank God, our next core value is the children. We, children, and then youth. We love the youth ministry. Now, I've been accused of nepotism. And what is nepotism? Nepotism is when you hire somebody from your family who's insufficient or incapable of accomplishing the task. And I am so proud to stand here today and say, I did not do nepotism. I hired my sons. I have two sons on staff, Pastor Cody Spencer and Pastor Chad Spencer, and both of them are powerful men in the Spirit. I'm proud to say that I'm their daddy. Amen? And I'm proud to say that they're ministers in this house. I'm blessed, not only because of legacy, but because they're actually, their platform is my ceiling. So where I am, they're already leaping beyond me. I am so blessed to have sons in the ministry. And then I have many other sons that aren't my blood sons, but many sons in the ministry and daughters in the ministry. I'm blessed to be your pastor, and I thank God. This morning, we're going to have Pastor Cody preach the gospel. And it is really fun to realize that the youth in this church are doing so many things. I don't know how many of you realize, but every Thursday between 80 and 120 teenagers come into this room and worship God together. Now, we bust some children in from Elmira. We have some home church grown kids. We have a full mixture of cultures and community. And we're excited that in this place, their hands are lifted high. They're worshiping Jesus. They're getting saved. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We're taking back our schools. I said, we're going to take back our schools. In fact, Pastor Cody has opportunity. He's already working in the school systems in Elmira. And now we're having possible opportunities now opening up to us in Horseheads. I'm believing the Lord that in Elmira and Horseheads, we're going to take the schools back. Can I hear an amen? God, pour out a revival. And in that, Pastor Cody is leading that up. And so let's welcome Pastor Cody Spencer to the pulpit.
It's always hard preaching after him because he drops a bomb word every single week. But I have a deal that I need to make with you guys before I get into anything, okay? I make this deal every time nothing's changed. I'm not good when it's quiet. It's really awkward for me. So if you're in the back, I need you to be engaged. If you're in the front, I need you to be engaged. What goes through my head is just, am I boring? Do I make sense? So you got to let me know if I make sense. You got to let me know, okay? So that can be an amen. You can let out a Ric Flair. Whatever you want, you can let something out from the back all the way to the front. Is that fair? Good engagement? Thank you. It's going to make life very easy for me. But I'm really excited about Uproar Conference. We have about 7 more Thursdays until we go into the downtown of Elmira and start out at Elmira, the first arena, which is really exciting. I almost forgot where we were going. There it is. The arena, which is really exciting. Last year, we had about 950 people in the building, and this year, we're believing for much more. But it's very, very exciting what Jesus is doing, and there's a couple ways you can help us out. Number one, we have a park cleanup coming soon. So we don't want this just to be about us, but we love our city. We love what's going on. So we're partnering up with Eldridge Park to do a cleanup on June 17th. So if you'd like to help us do that, it's almost like if you did a bowl-a-thon back when you were younger. People sponsor you per hour or minute or however you want to do it. We have packets out front at the table. Sierra is going to be out there. We have a flag on it that says Uproar. It's pretty hard to miss. But if you want more information on partnering up with us on that, that's going to be in the front. But then also, if you want to partner with us financially, you can text. They're going to put the number up right here. And I want to thank you. Many people in this room have already done so, and we're blessed by you. You're the reason that over 1,000 teenagers are going to be ministered to this summer for a weekend at the local arena. It's crazy because of your hands partnering in with us. We're blessed by you. But you can give $5 a month, $10 a month, or you can give more. But whatever you're comfortable at, if you want to partner with conference, you go ahead and text that number and follow the prompts. You register one time, hit yes for recurring giving, and then you're all set for life. But seriously, we want to thank you guys for making it happen for 5 years already, and year 6 is right around the corner. We're blessed for it. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. We thank you that as your word goes forth, Father, we pray it will hit us in the heart. It's not just going to stay in our minds, but Lord, I pray it will permeate down to our hearts, and we'll see a true life change. You're excited about it. You believe it. Can I hear a mighty amen from the back to the front? Whew, that was mighty. Anybody recognize we live in a really foggy area? Like, Sometimes I don't even want to drive in it. It's actually the one question I missed on my permit test was high beams or low beams in the fog. I thought it was high beams. I was 16. I've learned. I don't know. I missed one. Back up. But it's really foggy in this area. And I was doing a little research this week, and I ran across a stat that blew my mind. The Bureau of Standards in Washington said a dense fog that covers 7 city blocks at a depth of 100 feet is actually equivalent to only 1 glass of water. Isn't that wild that such a thick, dense, deep fog can be caused by something small and minute? That we might be scared to drive forward in it. We might go slower. We might not even move while there's a dense fog because we can't see right what is right in front of us. And it's so small. I want to talk to you this morning about fear, peace, doubt, everything wrapped up in that family. Because ultimately, every fear, every doubt, every lack of peace, while it might look large, while it might be daunting, while it is real, it's minute compared to our God and our promises. Amen. It is minute. It is nothing compared to our God and His promises. And what I've seen out of a lot of people is quit. And I want to let you know this morning that your quitting point is the enemy's new starting point. Amen. Where you quit last time is where the enemy will start this time. He's not going to start farther back. He's going to start right where you quit last time. We can't have any quit in us. And I want to talk to you out of Psalm chapter 23. Anybody love the 23rd Psalm? I love it, man. It's so powerful. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I want. He lets me lie down in green meadows. He leads me to still waters. I love a shepherd like that, man. That's exciting to me. His job is to lead, feed, and protect us. That's what shepherds do. But it's really cool because as we get farther into this chapter, we run into a little bit of a change. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It says, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the valley of the shadow of death. In reality, it wasn't a figurative place. It was a real valley. It was between Jerusalem and Jericho. And oftentimes they bring their sheep and their goods through the valley so they could trade them at the destination for goods or services. And oftentimes we hear this and we just think it's figurative, but I actually watched a video on YouTube about it. And it was wild because it was like a couple hundred feet down from where they were driving their vehicles. And it was jagged and it was ugly and it looked messed up just like you think it would. And it got me wondering, like, if God is going to let me lie down in green meadows and He's going to bring me to still waters, why is there a valley that sometimes I have to go through to get to my destination? Because it says, though I walk, like, it's real. I'm in it. I'm on it. It's real to me. I'm not going to belittle the situations that people might be going through. What we see with a lot of our teenagers is it's difficult because a lot of their parents don't serve Jesus. So they're out here serving. Like, I had one kid. I've been doing a small group on Tuesdays, and one of them just let me know. He's like, it's really hard for me to serve Jesus because legitimately I go home and my brother smoked and my dad gave me a bag last weekend. It's really hard to serve Jesus when you're in a situation like that. We could say that's a valley of the shadow of death, that He's got to get through that. Unfortunately, that's the parent, that's the situation. But I believe that if He follows Jesus, there's something on the other end. Where He might not have an escape this moment, but on the other end, look out. And oftentimes, even as adults, we go through these same things where there's situations and there's things and there's valleys that we walk through and we cross through that unfortunately I might not be able to snap my fingers and it's done this moment. But I know there's a destination on the other end. I know there's something for me in Jericho. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And here's where we're going to park it for just a minute. The valley of the shadow of death. Our worship leader, Mackenzie. When she was 16, she was in our internship program, and we let her preach one Thursday night. And she was talking about shadows, and it blew my mind. This is a 16-year-old. She said, shadows are funny because they look big, but when you go and inspect what's casting the shadow, it's often nothing. It's often small. While it looks big, while it looks intimidating, in reality, it's just casting itself to look bigger than what it's really carrying. How wild is that? Does anybody remember when they were a kid and maybe at night there was a thunderstorm and as it would flash, you'd see something pop up in your room and you're, oh my goodness, there's a monster outside. Anybody freak out? Or maybe your kids have done that lately. We might have had trees outside the windows. I don't know. But those shadows turned out to be nothing but some leaves. What anybody used to make little hand, I can't do it. The dog, right? The dog shadow with a flashlight at night and you'd like make things back and forth. And it was huge, but in reality it was just your hand. You might have made a spider and scared somebody, but in reality it was just your hand. And really in reality it's just a spider, it's not going to hurt you. I know it's not a popular belief. But look, shadows look big until you inspect what's casting it. What the devil is throwing at you is actually smaller than what it seems. It might be real, but it's weak. It might be alive, but it's already been defeated. See, this morning I need you to know that the battle is truly in your perspective. Haley, can you come here? Yeah, I called you out. Come on, help me up. And Alex, can you come here too? I just need your guns, okay? Come on. Not real guns. They're legs on his arms. Yeah, I need help up here. So, Haley, can you stand right here for me? Thank you. In a natural perspective, when Alex puts his weight on this, Haley's gonna go up. You bend your knees. It's okay. Go ahead. Go slow. Go ahead and hold her up there for a second. Yeah, that's good. That's good. See, naturally, he's heavier, right? She's small. His arms are the size of her torso. He's gonna put her up. Because he's bigger, stronger. And we need to understand the perspective on this. We often, when we get into these valleys of the shadow of death, and here's what a lot of people do. They start following Jesus. They're like, man, this green pasture is nice. And man, this still water is great. But then we get to the valley, and instead of seeing God, instead of walking out in faith where God has us going, we flip our perspective of God being in control to the enemy being in control. See, here, where we have nothing combating us, nothing trying to outweigh us, nothing trying to defeat us, it's easy to remain grounded and in charge. But when we get into the valley, oftentimes what's pushing us around, for some reason we flip our perspective and we're no longer in control. We're no longer grounded, but for some reason we let the enemy outweigh us. Go ahead and just sit on that. Just park it on that. Hold on for a second. Almost throws us off sometimes. But unfortunately, this is how we see ourselves oftentimes when we get into the valley of the shadow of death. When we're walking through a situation, when we're walking through a time, we were good, we were in control, we were tipping the scale. But now because something is staring us in the eyes, because something is glaring at us, for some reason it outweighs us. See, anytime we have fear or doubt or disbelief in our lives, it takes us out of control and puts the enemy in control. And that's the danger of these scales, is oftentimes we flip the scale when things start to seem a little bit awkward, or things start to seem hard or difficult, or things are coming up against us. That's not how it is in reality, though, is it? I have a couple truths for you this morning. Fear only has victory when you bow to it. See, the devil can't kill you. He can't truly destroy you. He can't really have victory. But what he can do is he can manipulate you. See, his plan and his goal is to destroy your perspective, because he really can't do it without you bowing to it. He can only really do it if he can manipulate the truth in your life. He can manipulate you to believe that you're not strong enough, that God's not big enough to get you through the valley, and we end up with our perspective backwards, that the enemy's bigger, that the enemy's stronger, that even though he is truly, he looks bigger, has more muscle, has more weight, in reality, it's not what we can see, but what we can't see. And we let him be in control by flipping our perspective. Look at your neighbor. Tell him it's all about perspective. Can I tell you this morning that while it looks big, it's still soft? He said, I'm not soft. But really, what was the difference between David and Goliath? Because if you remember, the Israelites, they were hiding. They were scared. They were intimidated by a big giant. Probably maybe close to the size difference of Alex and Haley. They were hiding because their perspective was they would be destroyed if they challenged him. But David shows up. He says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine defying God's army? Who does he think he is? He might look big. Sure, he might be big. Sure, he might be strong. But who does he think he is defying God's army, God's people? Amen. And while everyone else who's trained and skilled is hiding in their tents, his perspective was flipped. So I'm not going down like that. I'm not going to lose. Because God's not going to let his people be enslaved to the Philistines, the ones opposing them. God's not going to allow his people to be destroyed. God has not spoken death, but he's spoken life to us. See, his perspective was different of that of everyone else. The battle's over your perspective. And see, your perspective is shifted by your understanding of the Word of God. Let's be real about it for a second. Manipulation is how the devil will win. He'll speak things about you. He'll put situations in front of you that can't truly defeat you, but will look big, will look scary, will look strong, so you believe it can defeat you. See, he can't defeat you. He can only get you to wave a white flag. He can only get you to bow down because of manipulation. He can't really hit you with a knockout shot. He can look like he's going to. If these two were to fight, it would be very bad. But you don't know what she's really got inside of her. All he can do is get you to wave a white flag. She might be a ninja. He cannot make you, so he will manipulate you. But it doesn't happen when you know the Word of God. What happened to Jesus when he was fasting, about to be launched into his spiritual destiny? What happened? The devil comes to him and he starts to tempt him. And he responds with the Word of God. He tempted him with the Word. He tried to manipulate him. But in reality, he ended up winning. Because he couldn't be manipulated. Because he knew the Word. See, truth always trumps facts. I think we heard that a couple months ago, didn't we? Truth always trumps facts. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter that he's probably 150 pounds bigger. It doesn't matter that his arms are the size of her torso. It doesn't matter that he's got cannons on his arms. It doesn't matter about any of these things. The truth is that she's got Jesus on the inside. The truth is that with Jesus, she cannot be defeated. The truth is the only way she's going down is doubt. This morning, I need you to understand that doubt is the birthplace of atheism. It's the birthplace of atheism. But we don't look at what we can see naturally. We don't look at what it seems. We don't look at any of those things because truth trumps fact. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't look at troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things which cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Wasn't it the same with the prophet where his servant went out and looked around and said, we're surrounded. We're going to die. We're in trouble. And he comes in and he reports it. I can just see the prophet now rolling his eyes like, go back and look, man. And he goes back and he says, there's more for us than against us. See, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the valley. There's more for you than against you. Truth trumps fact. And the truth is, Jesus isn't going to let you die if he's your shepherd leading you through. Because his job is to lead, feed, and protect. It doesn't matter what it feels like. Because his job is to bring you to the other side, to the destination. Not to leave you dead in the middle of the valley. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. How powerful is it that the Father has put power inside of you to crush Satan under your feet, to go against any tongue that would raise itself up against you? See, you're more powerful than you know. But the issue is often in our perspective. That we follow Jesus strong and we follow him hard, and we follow him when it begins. And when you get into that situation, it's easy to have faith at the beginning. It's easy to stand on the word in the beginning. But for some reason, most people end up sitting in the valley instead of walking through the valley halfway through. Why is it that we sit halfway through the valley when we're almost to freedom, when we're almost to the victory, when we're almost to the destination? What happens is most people sit right there. What happened? You guys are all set. You want to let her down slowly, please? You just walk down to Alex. I don't know. Just walk straight. I got you. Go ahead and put your hands together for them real quick. Thank you. See, I think this is the issue and the mistake a lot of people make. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I think we can look at it in another way as well. I shall fear no evil. But I think we could also say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall doubt no good thing. I shall fear no evil, and I shall doubt no good thing. Because fear does some things. Doubt does some things to us. Fear and doubt, they cause rash reactions to flow out of our bodies. The Bible in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, there's actually a real thing, like a natural thing that happens when fear and doubt and all these things start to come alive in our lives. It's called amygdala hijacking. Sounds weird, and I'm not that smart. I found it on the internet, and then I researched it, and it's true. Amygdala hijacking is pretty wild. It controls our emotions and our thoughts and our responses. And what happens with amygdala hijacking, they said it's one of the only parts of the brain that can do this, is when fear and all those things come into our lives, it will hijack the front cortex area, which is our decision-making, our forecasting, and our judgment. So often what happens when fear enters our lives is it takes over our decision-making and causes rash decisions, decisions we wouldn't make before, things that we would never even thought about, we end up doing. And I'm pretty sure the Bible just said to be sober and to be vigilant. And it's hard to be sober when you're drunk with fear. He just said this too. It's pretty wild. It says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you, the devil only has dentures and he doesn't walk around with them in? Your enemy is a toothless lion. He can roar, but he can't bite and kill you. He can roar and he can gum you to death if you allow him. But he has no real authority to puncture you with teeth. He's been declawed, detoothed. He can roar and scare us into a bow, but he can't truly kill us with his teeth because he has none. I'm not going to get gummed to death by anything or anyone. Don't allow yourself. It's funny when you say it in that context, right? Like, don't get gummed to death. But I see so many Christians gummed to death by fear because they flip their perspective and allow the enemy to be stronger than the God that they serve and the God that's in them. It doesn't make sense. Fear and doubt, they cause rash reactions. And I need you to know that evil has a name as well. I shall fear no evil, and evil has a name. It can be identified. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to one name. And that's the name of Jesus. Every fear that you have will bend its knee to Jesus and confess that he is Lord and Master. Every doubt that you have will bend its knee to Jesus Christ and confess him Lord and King. So if those fears and those doubts will confess him Master, why would you bow and bend to someone who is not the Master? Remember, fear's only victory is for you to bow to it. So why would you bend your knee to something that's also going to bend its knee? I only bend my knee to the King. I only bend my King to the Master, the undefeated one. You need to also know, I will fear no evil because evil has been shamed. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He made the devil look like an idiot in public. Think about it. Your fear has been publicly shamed already. Doubt has been publicly shamed already. Whatever he's trying to get at you in that valley has already been publicly shamed. So instead of you being up in the air, literally he's been up in the air being publicly shamed, defeated, destroyed. So if I will fear no evil, it doesn't make sense to do it. It's been publicly shamed, and it will bow to the name of Jesus. So what does it have in my life? It has absolutely no voice, no truth, and nothing that I would even bow to. But Christians get gummed to death all the time. And this is what we end up doing. We get halfway through the valley. Look, I'm not discrediting it's a real situation. I'm not discrediting that divorce might be hard, that sickness, it might be a real disease, that it might be, all of these things are reality, but I'm saying, don't sit in the middle. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley, not that I get halfway, throw up my tent and start crying that God's not going to do anything. It's powerful because this is what people do. They get halfway through and then they claim their issue as their identity. Don't we do this all the time? Our issues become our identities. Hurt people, and I'm not picking on AA, but if you've been set free from alcoholism, why would you still claim to be an alcoholic? If you've been set free from anything, don't claim it any longer. That's not your identity in the name of Jesus. It's different. It's been redeemed. It's been bought. It's been changed. It's been shifted. Don't just do it with alcohol. You can do it with any other situation you've been redeemed from. And here's another thing. Why would you claim what the enemy's trying to define you as? I'm pretty sure. Actually, I'm 100% sure the enemy's been deemed the father of lies. Correct? So if he would try to name you something, if he would try to name you defeated, what does that mean you truly are? If he's going to name you a loser, what does that mean you really are? If he's going to say that you're going to lose your family, what does it really mean? If he's going to say that you're going to lose your job, if he's going to say you're not going to prosper, anything he says, it's literally the opposite of the truth. But we'll claim our identity or our issue as our identity. Because the enemy is trying to name us, but he's the father of all lies. Remember, fear's only victory is if you bow to it. Fear's only victory is if you take the name it's trying to give you. Three really good truths. Ready? What you're going through does not define you. God's word defines you. And if you don't know who you are based on God's word, you need to come to Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, or Thursday night. If you've been through Rock Solid Faith and you're still struggling, you need to go through it again, or you need to start going to step two on Tuesday nights, and we're going to have one soon on Thursday nights. If you've been through everything and you're still having troubles, you need to get into Bible college and educate yourself, because you can only engage the Word of God based upon how much you know it and understand it. But you just don't need to come to classes. You need to open your Word every single day. crack your Bible open and start reading every single day. You're not, what you're going through does not define you, number one. Number two, what you're going through does not change God's promises to you. What you're going through does not change God's promises to you. Number three, what you're going through does not destroy your purpose. I want to read those again, because if you can get those in your heart, your perspective will never be flipped. What you're going through does not define you. What you're going through does not change God's promises to you. And what you're going through does not destroy your purpose. They're real situations, aren't they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a real situation, didn't they? King Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to bow to my golden statue. We're going to blow a trumpet, and everyone's going to bow. And they said, nope, I'm not doing that. You think I'm a fool? Blows it, and they don't bow. Get turned in. He said, well, you know what? We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. You're going to bow. No. Okay, in you go. Seven times hotter. The people throwing them in die. What they're going through didn't define them. They didn't say, well, you know what? We'll serve you. We'll bow to you. Go ahead. Whatever you want, we'll do it so we can live. Because they understood that he couldn't change the promises to them either. And as they get thrown in, there's not three men in, there's four men, and God protects them, and they don't even smell like smoke. Because what you're going through does not change your purpose. Peter and the apostles, right? Don't say the name of Jesus anymore. Stop preaching the name of Jesus. Are we going to obey man or God? Yes, we're going to say the name of Jesus. Sorry, bye. Daniel in the lion's den. Pray to the king only or you'll be killed. And he ends up using a lion as a pillow that night. See, don't ever claim your issue as your identity. Because it doesn't define you, it doesn't change God's promises, and it can't destroy your purpose if you keep walking forward. I see a lot of Christians, they end up being victims in the valleys instead of victors in the valley. They get halfway through and they throw up their tent. But do you know what I love about the valley? What should bring us a lot of faith about the valley? Thieves are pretty dumb, but they're not the dumbest. Because at least they're going to rob somebody who has something to take. It should build faith in your life that as you get into the valley, you're being attacked. Because if you weren't being attacked, it shows that you have nothing to take. Christian, you got a lot to take. It's eternity. It's purpose. It's power. Of course he's going to try to destroy you. Of course he's going to try to rob you of that. You should have faith. Thank you for trying to come at me. Thank you for saying that I got something worth taking. There's something in you that's worth attacking over. It should be encouraging. At least it encourages me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Here's the key. For you are with me. Jesus said it to his disciples right before he ascended. He said, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. What's great is at the beginning of Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I now shall not want. And he lets me lie in green meadows. And he leads me to still waters. See, if he's our shepherd, he leads, he feeds, and he protects. That means we must be the sheep, correct? And here's something crazy. I don't know a lot about sheep. I was saying first service, I know three things about sheep. They have wool. I like to eat them. They taste good. And the third one is they have horrible depth perception. See, sheep can see to the side of them very well. And they can see behind them very well. It's funny because I feel like we can see and compare ourselves to other people very well. We're good at that. And it's easy to look in the past and hold condemnation and try to project what's going to happen in the future. But on our own, we can't project what's going to happen. Sheep have poor depth perception, and that's why we need a shepherd to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Because if we're trying to do it on our own, it's easy to walk the wrong direction. It's easy to walk in a cavern. It's easy to walk in a cave. It's easy to get jacked up and messed up. That's why the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. Because while we can't see forward, the Father knows what's going to happen. He wrote it from the beginning of time. And he says, if you take these steps, if you keep walking forward me, I will be your shepherd. I'll lead you. I'll feed you. I'll protect you. Don't walk off it. Don't look side to side. Don't look where you can see naturally, but look forward in faith. Because I got you in the valley. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let them rob you. I'm not going to let them destroy you. Because he's going to be crushed under your feet. And what's crazy, the only thing the enemy could truly destroy us with is the keys of sin and death. But do you know who holds the keys of sin and death now? Is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the I Am that I Am, the beginning and the end. He holds what could have destroyed us. Revelation 1:18. Can I tell you that in the valley you're untouchable because he is unbeatable and he's with us. Here's another thing that really irks me sometimes. Stop getting hit and please start hitting. A lot of Christians see themselves as punching bags. You're not a punching bag of the enemy. I'm sorry. If the devil's attacking you, please don't just lie back and be like, oh, stop it. No. Please stop hitting me. It hurts. Stop. That's how most Christians act spiritually. I'm sorry, if the devil's dumb enough, look, I remember watching a movie on Pearl Harbor, and right after they attacked Pearl Harbor, it went to one of the Japanese warships, and the general said, we just awoke a sleeping giant. When the devil attacks you, it shouldn't beat you down to the point that you can't do anything. It should literally awake a spiritual giant inside of you that says, go ahead, you're going to attack me? I'm going to go ahead and win my whole office for you. You're going to attack me? I'm going to go lay hands on the sick and see him recover. You're going to come at me? Thank you for awakening what's already been alive and dormant inside. I'm going to go and fulfill the call and purpose of God on my life. You're not a punching bag. You're a mighty force full of power. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Pretty hard to do in the valley, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, even when it looks bad, even when it feels bad, even when it's not easy. Lean not on your own understanding because you can't see in front of you. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. And this is the next part we don't really like. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod and a staff, there's a difference between the two. One corrects and one protects. Can I tell you, the Lord's correction is his protection? Like, we don't like being convicted about the things we've done wrong. It hurts. Well, we like it, but we don't want to go yelling about what it was. Correction is protection. And if he's going to lead you, he's got to correct you to protect you. As adults, we don't always like being told what to do. But I love Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It won't depart from my mouth. It will be meditated on upon my heart, and I'll act it out. But guys, if we want to see good success, if we don't want to be victims in the valleys, but we want to be victors in the valley, we can't look to our side. We can't look behind us. We got to look to Jesus Christ, our author and protector of our faith. We got to actually stop allowing when those attacks come. We can't set up shop in the middle of the valley. We can't do these things anymore if we want to see true victory. We got to stand strong in what he said. We got to keep walking out where he's placed us, because we understand that even though this is not a good position, the destination has what I need. Next part, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Saying, if the Lord's your shepherd, if the Lord's truly leading you, You're going to eat in front of your enemies. That excites me. I don't know about you. First service was way more awake. You're going to eat in front of your enemies. You're going to have favor in front of those enemies. You anoint my head with oil. It's talking about favor, showing favor to you. And my cup runs over. You'll have more than enough. He's talking about that in the valley. How powerful is it that even in the hardest times of life, you're going to be shown off in front of your enemies? Because he already made a public spectacle of them. That he's going to show favor to you in those situations. That boss that won't stop bearing down on you, he's going to show favor and you're going to get the raise even though he doesn't like you. That spouse who's might be going trying for a divorce, that you're going to favor is going to be shown in your life in that direction. And you're going to have more than enough to get to the other side. Because the valley of the shadow of death is not a place that you live, it's a place that you walk through. Christian, please stop setting up shop, throwing up your tent, and thinking that you have to live in the valley the rest of your life. It's only a point of destination so you can trade out what you have for more. So you can have greater. There's a couple keys to this, though. First thing is you have to give your life to Jesus. You have to have a true shepherd. And I think this is where the differentiating comes from. A lot of people love Jesus, my Savior, but they really don't enjoy Jesus, my Lord, or Jesus, my shepherd. The one that's going to correct me, to protect me. The one that's going to actually make me live things out. Not that I can keep living the life that I've been living, but I have to change my lifestyle. I have to meditate on the Word. I have to work the Word out. I got to walk the Word out. I got to live how He's called me to live. See, if he's your shepherd, you can have these things. But if you're just walking through the valley on your own, you're going to die. If you're just walking through the valley on your own, you're going to get beat, robbed, mugged, and left for dead. That's what happened to the Good Samaritan in the same valley of the shadow of death, Luke 10. Well, not the Good Samaritan, but you get it. But you got to give your life to Jesus. If you're not truly following the good shepherd, if you're not truly following the true shepherd, you're not going to make it. The enemy can do whatever he wants to you in that case. I need to ask you a serious question with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Today, are you truly following Jesus Christ? Have you truly submitted your life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Not just said it one time and hope that you were good, but truly living with him as your shepherd. If that's you and you said, I've never given my life to Jesus, or I used to serve him and I've walked away. Truly, I don't serve him anymore and I'm seeing the repercussions of this. But I want it to be different. I want to serve Jesus. If that's you today and you want to give your life to Jesus, can I see you slip your hand into the air? Not playing games, not messing around. This is eternity. Thank you for that hand. Amen. Can I have everybody stand to their feet? And here's what we're going to do, a little bit different than normal. If you raise your hand for salvation, or if you knew that you should have but you didn't, I'm going to have you make your way up to the left-hand side in just a minute. And you're going to meet with Mindy. She's my wife, the prettiest one up here. She'll be easy to find. She's right here. But if that's you, you're ready to give your life to Jesus, to submit to him fully, whether the first time or to return to him, in just a minute, you'll come up here. And then, Christian, this was really for you today. I don't think you need to be beat down. I don't think you need to sit in the valley. I think you need to start throwing some punches and make your way out of the valley and keep walking out where God has placed you. So today, if you're ready to break out of that, if fear, if doubt, if evil, if any of those things have captured a portion of your heart and kept you from walking forward, here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to have you get out of your seat in just a second and come up here and pray with one of the pastoral staff. I believe there's freedom in the name of Jesus. I believe there's power in the name of Jesus. I believe it's the name of Jesus that you can eat in front of your enemies. You can have favor in front of your enemies, and you'll have more than enough in this next season. I believe that it's not your eternity right here, but it's just a part of your destination. If that's you today, and you gave your life to Jesus, or you want true freedom, on the count of three, I want you to quickly get out of your seat and make your way up here. And look, don't waste your time. I'll just pray about it in the car or on the way home, because I don't want people to think my life is a mess. Forget that. You came to church not to just hear something and go home, feel good about yourself. We come to church to celebrate what Jesus is doing and to have our life altered right here. If it's a show to you, it'll always be a show, and it won't, and nothing will really change. But if it's about the altar, that's the shift. So on the count of three, I want you to get out of your seat. You ready? Shake your head. Something. Thank you. Ready? If you're giving your life to Jesus, or if you want true freedom. Ready? One, two, three. Let's go. Come on. Go ahead. Come on, all over this place. From the back to the front, I'm talking to every single person in here. If you gave your life to Jesus, or if you want true freedom, come on, I know there's more people in here than that. I know there's more people that want real freedom. I know you really want it. Don't let fear hold you. The only victory it can have is what it can manipulate you to do. I'm sorry, we're here to celebrate how Jesus can set you free this morning. Not condemn you, not to tear you down, but to lift you up in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus, remember, right over here on this left-hand side, it's the prettiest one up here. Amen. I'm going to turn the service back over to Pastor. I'm blessed to be able to do this. It's an amazing opportunity. Remember, if you want to partner with Uproar, we have a table right out front, or you can text that number. We love you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Turn to someone and say, I've got the victory. Boy, not many of you did that. I said, turn to someone and say, I've got the victory. Amen. Father, I release a blessing on the house this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare, Lord, none shall camp in the valley. But Lord, every one of us that are more than conquerors will come out the other side. I declare favor and blessing in everything we touch and do. For the glory of God, Lord, let us lead at least one soul to Jesus this week. For your honor and glory. And everybody shouted. I said, everybody shouted. On your way out, make sure that you work with and go out and become a partner with the Uproar Conference. You want to see lives change. You're the one who's going to make it happen by the glory of God. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room. These folks are going to get ministered to, changed by the power of God.